May it please the court. The sentencing guidelines reward a defendant who expresses true remorse and contrition to the offense and for the offense of which he is charged by reducing his offense level by two levels. Recognizing that Mr. Morales had done precisely that, the government submitted in its position papers to the probation office a single argument about why he shouldn't get acceptance, and that is they also claimed that he had obstructed justice. And since they claimed that he obstructed justice, he wasn't entitled to acceptance of responsibility. The probation department rejected their legal argument on legal grounds, that it was legally invalid. And at that point, the government had no basis on which to say that Mr. Morales should not receive a reduction. And so what they did is they abandoned their obstruction argument and to the district court presented new arguments on why it was that he should not get acceptance.
You're not arguing a forfeiture or a waiver, are you?
We did argue waiver to the district court judge, but the judge overlooked the waiver and accepted the new reasons that were advanced. But the new reasons that were advanced were legally invalid. The arguments that they made to the judge were, number one, because Mr. Morales had fought extradition in this case, that was denied him, or that should deny him, acceptance of responsibility. And this court has made it very clear on a number of cases.
It's a little more than that, though. It's flight and then fighting extradition.
Well, that was the second argument that they advanced, was that because he had failed to surrender on a different sentence, that is, that he had failed to surrender on a mail fraud conviction.
But it was part of a deal he'd worked out to get rid of the drug case.
Yeah.
Very, very advantageous to him not to go in on a drug conviction.
Well, actually, what happened in this case, Judge, is that at the time he failed to surrender, the only charges that were pending were the mail fraud charges. That is, and I say that was the only conviction that he had, and he failed to surrender. So essentially what the government was arguing is that because he failed to surrender on a sentence or a conviction unrelated to the conviction for which he was now being sentenced.
I can't buy that it's unrelated. It's a breach of his agreement. He had worked this out to get rid of the drug case by taking the hit on the mail fraud, and then he breached that agreement by fleeing.
Well, in one sense, you could say that it's related, but that is not the sense under which the guidelines apply. The guidelines say the offense of conduct for which he's convicted and relevant conduct for that offense. That's the only standard by which the guidelines say the judge should assess acceptance of responsibility. And on that standard, there was no question that Mr. Morales had accepted responsibility. So in other words, if he had committed some other crime...
Did he accept responsibility later? When did he accept responsibility?
Well, he certainly had accepted responsibility at the time that the judge was imposing sentence. Now, I think you could argue that he had accepted responsibility for this conduct much earlier.
Before he fled. Right?
Before he fled, you could say that. But that charge was no longer in existence at the time that he fled. And so he did not in any way.
But his fleeing was the basis for his not being there when he got the other charge, right?
Well, Judge.
Although the two are, in a sense, connected.
Well, they're connected, but not in the sense that the guidelines require that they be connected. That is to say, we could create new standards, but if you were going to be true to the guidelines and to the standard that the guidelines accept and the policy behind the guidelines, then we need to focus on what the guidelines require, which is, did the defendant accept responsibility for the thing that the judge is about to impose sentence on him? In this case, it was the drug offense. And there was no question that he had, that there was true remorse. Now, why should he lose that acceptance? As we argue, the judge said there's two reasons. One, he fought extradition, which is a purely legal argument that he advanced. And as is very clear, a defendant is perfectly in his rights to challenge legally, even in the case of going to trial, raise a legal challenge or a legal defense, and still not lose his entitlement to acceptance of responsibility. This is actually a case where Mr. Morales pled guilty.
Entitlement. Well, that's
if he had otherwise earned it, and there's no question, the government doesn't even argue to you now that he hadn't otherwise expressed true remorse. No, they didn't argue it below, and they don't argue it now. When you read their brief, they don't say he didn't express true and genuine remorse. They just simply said he fought extradition, and it took 13 years before he finally entered a guilty plea, so that it was untimely. But
what does the McLaughlin case say about this case?
Well, the McLaughlin case is an interesting case because the argument there
about the closest we have to this case.
Well, and there's language in there that, quite frankly, I think supports our position, and you could argue that there's language in there that might support a different rule, the holding, as I see it, the strict holding, was that a judge could consider conduct following the imposition of a charge but before the entry of a guilty plea. And if you follow the strict holding, in this case, the charge that the defendant pled guilty did not happen until after the conduct that the government is saying warrants a denial of acceptance. That is to say, once the charge was returned in 2006, he hadn't fled the jurisdiction. What he did was he fought extradition. And I might add, his first fighting of the extradition was turned out to be absolutely correct.
If he hadn't fled originally, he wouldn't have to be extradited at the same time, right?
It's true, but that would be true in any case. I guess what I'm suggesting, Judge, is you could always go back and say, prior to the indictment, if he hadn't done this, if he hadn't moved, if he hadn't done something, hadn't spent the money, hadn't done some other pre-indictment conduct, then we wouldn't be here today facing that issue. But at some point, you have to draw the line. The circuits that we cite, the 11th Circuit, the 1st Circuit, they say the line is the return of the charges for which the defendant is being sentenced. That's 2006. So what it really comes down to is Mr. Morales exercised his legal right to fight extradition. He turned out to be absolutely legally correct the first time that they tried to extradite him on the other charges. But ultimately, when the government brought these new charges, the government of Mexico said, no, he could be extradited. He was. And as soon as the government had vacated the earlier judgment, with the next court status after that ruling, he entered a guilty plea and acknowledged his guilt.
In these fast-track cases we had today, we've been asking generally what the difference in the sentence would be. Here, had he received a reward for acceptance of responsibility, would his sentence have been potentially just 6 months less than the one he received?
His sentence could have been, he received a sentence of, as I recall, 84 months. He could have gotten a sentence as low as 60 months. There was a mandatory minimum. There was a mandatory minimum, Judge.
But the guideline range with acceptance of responsibility would have topped out at 78 months.
The highest was 78 months. That's correct. So that if the judge had decided that a sentence within the guideline range was appropriate, the correctly calculated guideline range, then he could have imposed a 78-month sentence. He obviously thought a sentence within the wrongly calculated guideline range was the appropriate sentence. Perhaps he would say the same. Maybe he would take a different position on remand. But once we've established that there was error, he's entitled to a new sentencing hearing, and at which point we can make all the arguments under 3553A that we think ought to be made. So, Judge, we ask that you reverse this case and remand it for a new sentencing hearing.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Fullerton.
May it please the Court, good morning. The District Court properly refused to reward Mr. Morales with an acceptance of responsibility reduction in his guidelines, finding in its basic form, as he said, that this is not a case for prompt acceptance of responsibility. The District Court's refusal to grant the acceptance reduction was grounded foremost in the fact that this Mr. Morales' behavior was not consistent with the voluntary surrender to the authorities promptly after commission of the offense. Now, granted, the history in this case goes back some 15 years before his guilty plea. Judge Hart had presided over the case since 1995. And Mr. Morales had been a fugitive from 1997 until 2004 without anyone knowing where he was. The lack of voluntary surrender to the authorities promptly after the commission of the offense that the district court was referring to at sentencing really was basically referring to the failure of Mr. Morales after 2006 when he was reindicted on the drug charges, his fighting of extradition after the 2006 indictment, returning to the United States only in the fall of 2009. So it's that period of time that the district court was focusing on. There was some discussion at sentencing.
Now the problem with the failing to surrender, though, it seems to me, is that a lot of people get this benefit who fail to surrender, don't they?
They do. They can wait till they're arrested.
It's a factor against this benefit if you fail to surrender. We're making a lot of law that applies to a lot of other cases where it has never been applied before.
That was one factor the district court considered. The other factor, of course, was the lack of timeliness here. Mr. Morales was reindicted in 2006 on the drug charges. The renewed guilty plea on the drug case wasn't entered until 2010, 4 years later. Mr. Morales could have short-circuited this entirely, returned to the United States, and pled guilty. In fact, he could have pled guilty more promptly after he was indeed, in fact, returned to the United States in 2009. There was no reason to wait until 2010. But given those two factors, the fighting of extradition from 2006 until 2009, the failure to enter a plea from 2006 till 2010, against the entire backdrop of the case in which Mr. Morales had negotiated the plea that replaced the original plea to the drug count with the fraud and bribery plea, the district court was fully entitled to refuse. It wasn't an abuse of discretion to refuse the acceptance of responsibility reduction here, and it wasn't based on any legal error. The district court did not say categorically that fighting extradition means you cannot get acceptance. He simply said that is not consistent here with the prompt acceptance. I'm not going to ignore the history. I don't think it's proper to ignore the history, but I'm not going to give you acceptance of responsibility.
What's the McLaughlin case say about this case?
McLaughlin, is that the case about, I believe that's the case about pre-indictment conduct.
Yeah, it's a First Circuit case.
I guess my position here in what we took in the brief is that Mr. Morales's post-2006 conduct, the fighting of the extradition after the re-indictment on the drug counts, alone would disqualify him from the acceptance. The other thing I would note about that is that the conduct before 2006 was after the original indictment in 1995, so it's sort of both pre-indictment and post-indictment in a way. I don't think we need to decide this on a pre-indictment conduct basis, given the post-2006 conduct that's at issue here. At any rate, the district court was not basing its decision on legal error with regard to either the contesting of extradition or on some kind of legal error regarding the flight on the unrelated charges. The charges were, in fact, related, as Judge Tinder has pointed out, because that sentence was in place of a judgment on the drug counts. But the district court also essentially shied away from basing its decision on that ground, saying that some of what the defendant had to argue about the unrelated nature of the fraud case had validity, but then the second resisting the second extradition proceeding, it was what really put Morales over the edge with regarding getting acceptance of responsibility. So I don't think the district court based its decision in any way on legal error, and its decision ought to be afforded great deference. So what we'd like to ask is that the court affirm the judgment below.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Chobot, how much time left? 1 minute?
I just want to point out one thing, Your Honors. If we accept the concession that the focus is the post-2006 conduct, the only thing that happened post-2006 was that the defendant resisted extradition. His lawyer said, this is not legally proper. And Mr. Morales was absolutely reasonable in thinking that, since the government had once before tried to extradite him, and the court said that wasn't legally proper. So for him to say, well, I'm going to follow my lawyer's advice, and because I think that they've already tried this once and they were proved to be wrong, I don't see how that detracts from acceptance of responsibility. And the last thing I would note is that it isn't as if Mr. Morales were sipping margaritas for 2 years fighting extradition. He was sitting in a Mexican jail under very harsh conditions in the exercise of his legal right to avoid extradition. So I don't think that's indicative of a lack of acceptance of responsibility. And so I think that what happened here was that the judge relied on improper legal grounds to deny an acceptance that, even still, everyone agrees that Mr. Morales was remorseful, had fully admitted all the elements of the offense, at one point had cooperated with the governments with respect to this drug offense, and he should get a new sentencing hearing.
Thank you. Mr. Chobot, have you been on this case since 1995?
No, Judge. I was appointed after Mr. Morales was returned to this country in late 2009.
Express gratitude of the court for your acceptance of appointment both here and in the district court and your vigorous advocacy.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you to both counsel, and we'll take the arguments under advisement.